You are listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. We are joined once again in the studio by Dark Ubis Rybar. our only guest to have his own theme song.
Oh yeah, he sure does.
You ready, Dave?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Darkubus Rybar. Darkubus Rybar. Darkubus Rybar. Darkubus! Yeah!
Wow, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I know. I had to do that extra one because he's here for the show today, which is very important.
It really is.
So I figured, you know.
It's like one of you is sort of just trying to harmonize while the other's doing a power ballad.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, which is actually a kind of showcase for the entire show, I think, actually.
Yeah. One person's trying to do one thing and the other is doing something totally different.
One person's
going
trying to make sense.
Way.
Yeah. One person's trying to be logical and make sense. The other person, the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, seems about right.
Yes.
Anyways. So today is all about the A-Team and 80s TV and actually beyond the 80s, 70s, even 60s TV, you know, and the remakes of those shows into movies and into other shows.
Exactly.
And it's going to be an awesome show. But let's we're going to start off, I think, with some A-Team because the movie just came out.
Yes.
And by the way, next week will be about E3.
Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be playing games.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And if you don't already know, the show is now 3 hours. That's right. We're going to have to get a new opening made because it says, you know, for the next 2 hours. Like, no. Not two, three.
Seriously.
That's right. You get 3 hours of this, and then it gets repeated on Friday at noon?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm going to call up the announcer guy and go, hey, buddy, it's now three. What's with that?
Yeah.
Think that's going to work?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, what do you think?
It will if you pay him.
Exactly. Yes.
So.
Money. Yes.
So.
I need to get some. Oh, sorry.
Let's get into this. Let's talk about the A-Team.
Yes, let's do it. This is a movie that's been gestating for a long period of time. I remember initially John Singleton was considering doing the A-Team a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I heard the rumors that he was thinking of trying to get Bruce Willis to play Hannibal.
That is the big rumor.
And
about it.
And also, you know, the whole thing was to, you know, for BA he wanted like Tyrese or something. You know, the model guy from Transformers. And you know, I guess I would say fortunately it didn't get made by him. By the way, I think we saw John Singleton at a Johnny Rockets once.
Probably.
I gotta say, I'm pretty sure I saw him there.
Well, you know, it's...
Good times, huh? He did direct Boys in the Hood, which is one of my favorite movies when I was a little kid.
Yes.
By the way, one little thing
your
I found out while we were
watch
watching...
that as a kid?
Yeah, my parents didn't care what I watched. It was the greatest thing ever. So I saw Boys in the Hood like literally a year after it came out. And I remember, you know, the whole thing about Ricky, you know, he's like the quarterback, the running back kid who gets killed by the gangbangers. That is Morris Chestnut, who's in V. That's all I got to say. It's pretty sweet.
And you know what else?
What?
That's totally like a takeoff of
Cooley High.
Cooley High,
yes,
yeah, which we watched for our Blaxploitation show,
even though it
technically wasn't Blaxploitation.
No.
But it certainly did inspire a lot of
it certainly
a lot of
did.
Things from now.
Yes.
But
it all connects.
Oh, yes. It's like Kevin Bacon, except not.
Not at all.
Not at all, actually. No, not one bit.
Nothing like Kevin Bacon.
Sorry about that, yeah. So, how should we start off this review of this movie? Because, you know, I know, anime, you and I have been talking about this movie on the show for a while, about how excited we are about, how excited we were about it, and how great the casting was.
Yeah, I mean we didn't really cast anyone except for, we had said Rampage, like 3 years ago.
Yeah, and by the way, we didn't find the clip, which we
Well, you know what, at some point we're going to, we're going to find the clip, and we're going to put it online, but it was pretty neat that they decided to cast him. But let's actually talk about some of our, you know, some of the things that we loved about the show, you know, from what we remember the show, our fond memories of the show. So let's start with Rybar here.
You know, I watched the show when I was very, very young, and I would have to say that I was always... I can't help it. I was a Mr. T fan.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, Mr.
Always
T was there to
been,
help the children.
He scared me at first, and that is only because he was Clever Lang.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was very scared because, you know, he was no friend to Rocky Balboa.
No.
And all of a sudden, you know, Rocky Balboa, you know, beat the ever-loving crap out of him, and all was good with the world. And then I remember seeing on television, here's Clubber Lang again.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Wait a minute, I'm ready to head for the hills and you know, but apparently he's like kind of nice and stuff.
Well, he was.
But he was talking mean, and but he was also good.
But you know what? He was in Blues Brothers as Guy on Street.
He was. Yes, it's true.
So this you know.
Yes.
So we already knew he could play a passive character, you know. It's,
but I hadn't seen Blues Brothers. I would not have seen Blues
and
Brothers
even if you
for
had,
another
you
10
wouldn't
years
have seen him.
At that point. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I have to say, you know, when looking back at the Rocky movies, as a kid, the only ones I really ever thought about being really awesome was Rocky 1 and Rocky 4, you know, because of the whole Cold War.
Well, Rocky 3 was the first one I saw in a theater and was really kind
That's
of
cool.
a part of. And, you know, we will discuss Rocky, hopefully, at a later date, but... In terms of Mr. Clubber Lang, Mr. T, he
yeah.
scared me.
We'll definitely have to have a Stallone show.
Yeah,
you know,
have
like
to do our Stallone.
Done a Seagal show. We'll need a Norris show. We'll
yes.
need you know. We'll need an Arnold show. Yeah,
and we'll have to do a Van Damme show at some point
oh,
too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in terms of Mr. T, I mean, just the transition from him to from this you know this mm-hmm. scary creepy bad guy who was going to be Rocky Balboa to you know. Not only being cool, but telling me to you know drink my milk and
yeah.
treat my mom right and all these good things.
Don't that do was, drugs.
That was you sometimes know. How they got him to get on the plane. They would drug his milk.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be all like they'd be like,
and
no, you're not getting me on
thing.
That plane. Oh, okay, I'll totally drink that milk.
Is that he had this little bit of vulnerability
uh-huh.
to him, and then that was something really special. That he, you know, didn't like flying.
You know, it was really interesting. And that's one of the really funny things about B.A.'s character in the A-Team and one of the things that they do have in the new movie. Though I got to wonder, you know, because I was young at the time, I can't really remember, like, how the whole thing started with Mr. T, sort of. He was so popular by the time he got to A-Team. I know he had done, like, Rocky III's Clubber Lang, but, like, he sort of became this icon for, like, kids already, like, by that time. Like, was it just the popularity of Rocky III, or was there, like, you know... What was it that like made him so popular before the A-Team was even out? Because I had heard that he promoted the A-Team that same year it came out at the Super Bowl.
Well, the A-Team was actually a show that was essentially designed to promote Mr. T. Like
yeah.
it was a show where you know the people who were making it come in with this idea and they go, so you know it's this like you know team of guys and Mr. T drives the van. Like
yeah.
you know Mr. T didn't have to audition. He you know he just got
yeah,
the job.
Yeah,
you know?
it was really one of those. Things where you know if anybody was you know more of a face guy or Hannibal I mean you just no
yeah
you really there was just you had to sit there and you know admire BA and as a kid I had action figures and I did have
that's so cool
my BA Baracus action figure
oh, man,
and
do you
I had
still have
the van
it, that'd be so cool
wow
no
oh
I
that's
don't
harsh
still have it. If I well I didn't know back then that there would be a movie you know 20 some odd years later and that I can bring it in to the geek world
yeah
is that the thing that like you had no idea when we were little kids that there would be like a collector's market out there it was like
yeah
you know it didn't really start until like I think the whole comic book thing with the 90s started
yeah.
But yeah you know it's interesting you say that though because it's true you know it was one of those where they like they came up with a show and they're like no matter what Mr. T is going to be in here we know we're going to get Mr. T and it definitely felt like in this movie version it was sort of like okay we're going to get Bradley Cooper and then we're going to go from there
yeah well yeah that's in the same way that the original A-Team was essentially about it was a show for Mr. T this was they've been promoting this and the movie itself felt like a you know like just a thing for Bradley Cooper you know like to like I'm not saying it should have been. It just, like, you know, watching the movie, it felt very much like the movie of Face. And then there are these other guys, too.
Yeah. That and I think that's sort of the main, I think, issue I think we both had with this new movie. I think overall, I think we liked it, and I think that it was fun. But that was sort of my biggest issue with it, is it felt sort of like you have this show, right, the A-Team, and you have, like, these four really awesome characters, and really the least awesome of the characters was Face. If you think about it, there was, like...
Yeah, he was
kind
of the most boring.
There was Hannibal, who was not only awesomely played by George Peppard, but also, you know, he always dressed up, and he, you know, he was always the man with a plan. man, and he was always with a cigar and smiling, and he was also, you know, the craziest of all of them, even though it wasn't as outwardly.
I think it kind of was very much outwardly.
Well, I think the only reason why he doesn't seem as insane was because Murdoch was there, and Murdoch was the clear, you know, like radio or whatever, and MASH, he was just the clear crazy guy, like, without a doubt crazy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Mr. T, who, you know, everyone loves. He's a big, tough guy, you know, he's sort of like, I mean, they even dressed him sort of in the pilot, like, you know, like they were going to try to sell the toy. Like, he kind of looked like Mario, actually. He had, like, what are they called?
The overalls.
The overalls, you know, the blue overalls with the red shirt. And
which is action figure. That's what he had.
I think he just dressed that way so he could get chubby, because if you watch, he progressively gets chubby as the time goes on, you know? And,
I'm sorry. I do actually know how Mr. T kind of got into the acting game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was actually a part of this competition in 1980. Sylvester Stallone was taking part in this America's Toughest Bouncer competition. I don't know if Stallone
was a bouncer,
judged it or whatever.
And I believe he won. Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
And that was kind of like where Stallone kind of found him and kind of where he got his popularity and where he, you know, he's this tough guy, toughest bouncer. Well, apparently, when he was a bouncer, he used to, like, dress up, like, full on, like, in a suit with, like, carnation in his lapel
that's
and everything.
Awesome.
Like,
he looks like the Gray Hulk.
I think he looked more like a pimp. I don't know.
That's awesome. That's so
and then
cool.
He did, you know, Summer Stock and Hedda Gabler on Broadway
led
to, you know, some acting work in Rocky III.
I believe he played Hamlet, as I recall.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
he's an understudy.
You know, you can't. You know, Mr. T is one of those guys where you cannot actually ever replace Mr. T. The thing is, he is a true individual.
Yeah. Well,
without a doubt.
Even his role in Rocky III, it wasn't supposed to be very much. It was supposed to be like two lines at most. And because he's such a humongous personality, because he was just so awesome that the role expanded around him.
Yeah. You know, I have to say too, Rybar. You know how you're talking about how he scared you when you were a kid in Rocky III. You know, I had remembered him mostly from the A-Team. And so later, as I got older, I mean, I think I saw Rocky III as a little kid, but I got older, I saw Rocky III again, and I was amazed how seriously scary he was and how jacked he was. Like, he was just this, you know, he looked like a bodybuilder. He was this gigantic dude. And I remember, like, you know, he was really freaky because when I think back in my childhood, Mr. T is like kind of a big teddy bear. You know, he's mean looking and everything, but he's got all the gold and he's always, you know, there's always kids around him learning a lesson. And I remembered him like that.
It's kind of, you know, he and Hulk Hogan kind of had the same kind of thing going where, you know, on the one hand, they played this kind of tough part. Like, you know, I mean, even Mr. T did the wrestling thing for like a year or two, you know, but they both had that tough thing going. But at the same time, you know, I don't think any of us will ever be able to get the image of Hulk Hogan as Mr. Nanny out of our heads, you know, or
Thunder Lips.
From
Rocky III. Man, what a great movie that is.
I'm saying, like, we can't exactly get the tough guy and the cuddly.
It's like the pacifier or the tooth fairy now.
Exactly.
No, I totally know what you mean. And, you know, they've done that for a long time in Hollywood. That's sort of like, you know, you take the big scary guy and you make him, you know, lovable and endearing.
I mean, if you want him to be a hero, then he's got to somehow have something about him that makes him appealing and endearing almost.
Yeah.
And
with Mr. T, it's everything.
Yeah. And then, unless you get on his bad side, which you don't want to do.
Because then you will pity the fool.
Yeah.
So do we just want to talk about the movie now, kind of how we felt about it overall, or do you want to keep on talking about the show?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that there is absolutely nothing that we could actually give away about this movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna tell everybody one thing right now. If you, we actually kind of did ourselves a disservice.
Yes.
We watched a bunch of episodes of the old show before we went to see the movie. And I really feel like this actually did us a disservice because, you know, we were hoping for, you know, something more like the show. What we got was, you know, the what is it, 20, 30 second intro to the show where the guy is like, you know, they were crack commando team.
10 years ago, a crack commando team was imprisoned for a crime they didn't commit.
Yeah. Well, that's the movie. The movie is that 30-second intro stretched out to 2 hours.
A-Team Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Exactly.
The thing is that the actual first episodes, you know, they don't even have an episode where any of that happens. They talk about it in the first episode, and they get on from it. Now, I don't mind them having, you know, the part in the beginning when they go in and they get that money and the printing plates and stuff, because that was actually the crime that they were in the show, that they were, you know, falsely convicted of. But it does bother me that the rest of the movie wasn't them. It was them helping themselves, not helping other people. And that was the whole thing about the A-Team. That the A-Team was all about, they'd go in and they're the ones that you call when nobody else can help. Yeah. You know? If you could find them, maybe you can call the A-Team.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think the thing about the show is, you know, you look back now, it is funny, like, how come they didn't actually do an episode that was about, you know, about that first, you know, intro?
Because it wasn't necessary.
Exactly. That's the thing. You know, these guys were all, like, such awesome characters by themselves. And also, because it came out in the mid-80s, you know, you were aware of Vietnam still and aware of people who came from Vietnam. And so you didn't really have to go through all of it, and you got it instantly. And I agree, you know, that was the problem, is the fact that it would have been fine to have half of the movie be that stuff, but then another half to be more like an episode where, like, they go and help people.
Yeah.
But for the entire movie to kind of be strung out was sort of strange.
The movie starts off with them giving you some weird introduction, you meeting the characters, and they didn't all know each other, and then they form this crack commando unit, and then 8 years later they're still working together, and that's when the thing happens with the false conviction, and then 6 months after that is when... But, like, that's just... That's not what it is. Like, yeah, that's not what the show is about. And honestly, my biggest problem really is that they weren't helping other people. You know, that was such a big part of the show, that they were always out there helping other people, that it was always for somebody else. And this, you know, this was all about them. I'm sorry, but if the show could last 5 years of never having to go into, you know, never having to have an episode dedicated to them getting out of jail, you know, getting into jail and then getting out of it, then they didn't need to do it for the movie.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary. I mean, it certainly, at that time, we just understood that this was background, and this was, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, we don't need, you know, this is where we become such an origin obsessed.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it was completely unnecessary, and I also think it also dilutes the character. I think you know, the mystery you can give to characters helps. And now the whole thing, we're like, you know, before it was cool, why was BA so scared of flying?
Exactly.
And I don't remember in the TV if they ever actually explained it.
No, I don't think they ever did.
No, because it was unnecessary. Because it was the one, like you said, it's the one weakness. It was this Achilles heel.
And it also made for this really especially great you know, tension between BA and Murdoch.
Yes.
You know, that like, he didn't want to fly, and so he was going to also, besides the fact that Murdoch was crazy in general, he was also just going to hold against Murdoch that he flew.
Exactly.
You know? So, and in this, they went, oh, okay, well, you know, food will contradict the flying thing and the not, you know, and the being upset with Murdoch thing. We'll make him food.
And that's the thing, too. It's like, you know, that's okay, like, to just cut away. Like, they never really explained in the A-Team too much how, you know, B.A. didn't kill him, other than, you know, it was usually Hannibal, like, drugging him or something, so he didn't kill him. But it was like, you know, it's okay to leave some stuff open for, like, comedic effect. You don't have to explain every single thing, especially when you're trying to make a comedy.
Yeah. You actually made a really good point when you and I were just talking the other day. When you were saying... That the fact that they were commandos, you know, that like they were this crack team of commandos, essentially, that meant right there that they could do awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Just all you have to do is go, these guys are commandos. Oh, well, they are awesome and can do really awesome, crazy stuff. You don't need an entire movie to show you, hey, look, these guys can do awesome stuff. It makes them less awesome to have to show you.
We needed to know only one thing about the majority of action heroes in the 80s, and that was that they were the best.
Yes. Yeah. Of the best.
That's all we knew. Yeah, of the best. That's all you had to know. If they were the best, that's it.
Yep. Yeah.
And then it was all about whatever they were doing.
Well, that's the thing. If you say the best, then it's
the
best.
Best.
You don't need to show it. And yeah, I mean, it really took away, the movie really took away from the spirit of the TV show, like took off from that by having it be all about, oh, we've got to clear our names. It's all about us. We're the A-Team. All about us. It's like, no, the A-Team are the ones you call, not the ones that, you know, call you.
I agree. But I think, you know, my main issue with it, along with that stuff, is the fact that, like we said, it's sort of like the show, for me, as a kid at least, was all about, you know, Hannibal, B.A., Murdoch, and Face. And the movie was very much about Face and then the other three guys who are weird.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like there was Face, who was like the... I feel like the screenwriters, and it's funny because I even read something that Carnahan wrote, that he said something, like, quoted Entertainment Weekly, he was saying, I wasn't a big fan of the show as a kid, but I realized how popular it was.
Yeah.
And that's what it kind of seemed like, is the fact they were like, okay, there's this show, but all these guys are cartoons. cartoon characters, except for this one guy, Face. We can really make a story with him because he's the most normal.
The whole thing about Face was that, you know, he was actually the most comic relief in the show because, you know, his job was to always get distracted by the girl, you know, to essentially be the role that normally is given to a girl. Hey, you're the pretty one. You're the piece of meat. Go be a piece of meat and distract those people.
You know, I would just say that they were all that way. I mean, they were all cartoony in their own way, but they attempted to make one normal, and that was the biggest problem for me.
No, I'm not saying they were all cartoony. I'm saying that he was the one that made the biggest comic relief of it, because the other ones, it was their characters. It was within their characters to just be that way. And yes, it was funny, but with Face, his situations were funny. It wasn't him. It was the situations that were brought on because of his, you know, what his character was, because his character was the pretty one and the one that was girl crazy, essentially.
I think what they lost sight on was the fact that I think they were trying to make it realistic.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Well, because there were apparently, from what I read, there were a lot of problems with the development of the movie. And
not
it's
surprised.
One of those things where, you could sit there and point the finger at Joe Carnahan, but I think there were people before him. There were, I believe, like 11 producers and 10 writers. And it just was one of those things where ultimately it was made by committee and a lot of different points of view and a lot of different ideas, and everybody wants a piece of it, and the end result is something that feels like it's very much a jumble of all these different things.
I totally agree. There were definitely too many cooks in the kitchen. I think that's a great point, and I think it really seemed that way because it seemed very uneven. It seemed like at times they were spending almost too much time making homage to the original show, but at other times it seemed like it was such a departure from the original show.
The thing is, they were making... You remember in Terminator Salvation how you know aside from the actual like kind of neat part with the, you know, Arnold face CGI'd onto that other bodybuilder guy,
worthwhile part,
the whole thing was, you know, hey, you remember this from the old movies? We're going to mention it now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That was the same kind of thing in this. It was like, hey, you remember this thing? You remember how B.A. hated to fly? Hey, remember that? We're just going to keep on mentioning that. Hey,
it was weird.
You know how, like, you know how Hannibal's always smoking a cigar? That's all he's going to do. He's not going to do any of the other stuff he did. He's just going to smoke a cigar. And that was the thing I love in the old show. In the very first show, in the pilot, you want to know how you first meet Hannibal? He's dressed as a sea monster.
Yeah.
Hannibal starts off dressed as a sea monster.
Yeah.
I think there's some things that Liam Neeson probably will not.
I'm not saying...
Hey, he did Clash of the Titans. There's nothing he won't do.
Seriously. Now, here's the thing. One of the big things about Hannibal is that he plays dress-up, essentially. He's the guy that, you know, anytime that they had a client, he would dress up and send them through this, like, series of comedic, you know, misadventures, essentially, in order to hire the A-team. And he was always dressing up for some, like, to get in somewhere or to do something or to trick somebody. And that was something that they totally left out from his character in the movie. I'm not saying that he needs to dress up like, you know, like he did in the early episodes, like a, you know, hunched over Chinese man or a sea monster or anything else like that. But you know, everybody else in the movie dressed up at some point, and he didn't ever.
He was for like a little bit, sort of. He had his hair dyed, I believe. That was
When they went through airport security, he dyed his hair.
Did he?
Yeah,
yeah,
that was
there
it.
Wasn't much
hair.
In terms of dress up at
he was,
all.
Like, taken,
this,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was just a shadow.
No, and you're right. I mean, Robert,
you
kind of
forget that's what he looks like.
That was the only time. But you know, you're right. The whole fact is, you know, that was part of his character. I felt the main thing was that, like, it was that there wasn't a lot of respect for the original source material. And what I mean by that isn't that, you know, they went off the deep end or anything. It wasn't like Highlander 2. But the thing was that basically they felt like all we need to do is give Liam Neeson white hair and a cigar, and there you go. That's the character. You don't actually need to make him a character. He's in charge, and he looks that way.
Well, yeah.
And it was like that for every character except for Face. In Face, they really developed a story for him. But it was sort of like you may remember Thundercats.
Yeah.
What was the name of the guy who was the tiger guy? Was it Tigro?
Oh, man.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
There was, like, Panthro, Chitara, Lionel, the two kids, and then there was, like, that Tigro or something. And anyway, the A-Team for me was sort of like if they made a Thundercats movie, it made the main character that character instead of, like, Lionel. Like, that's how I felt like the movie was. And that was a weird thing to me because that to me was just the strangest thing. It felt very odd to me that the face was like the main character, because remembering the show, he was like the least important of all the characters. He was the grifter.
Well, probably it might just be a you know, just a facet of the way it was cut, the way, you know, audiences responded, test audiences. I mean, you know, it has so many, there's so many different criteria that a film has to meet, and isn't always just about pleasing the people who like the show, even though that is
right. The thing is that you know, they took something that was a successful formula. Like, it's one thing when you take a show that only lasted for one season, and, you know, maybe it has a really core fan base, but, you know, there's a reason it only lasted for like one season, and then you change up the movie some. But if you're basing something on something that was very successful, and it was very successful for a reason, and while part of the reason was definitely Mr. T, the other reason was just the way that it was written,
ensemble.
And the way that the characters, you know, were. Yeah. And then to take away that, like, take that away from the what you make in the movie, it doesn't make sense. And I'm not saying these studios ever make sense. They generally don't, and most of them just go like what you're saying with the dress up thing. Like, I can see, you know, people like writing, you know, someone writing in that Hannibal dresses as something, and people going, that's just stupid. That doesn't, like, that'll make him so uncool. But that's the thing. Hannibal is so cool that the dressing up doesn't take anything away from that. In fact, it adds to how cool he is, because he can dress up like a freak and still be that cool.
Yes. It's tough to do a sea monster, but...
Yeah. I only bring up the sea monster because, like, the whole thing is that even in the very first episode, you know, it starts off the very first way that you meet him. He's on a movie set dressed as a sea monster. That's how you meet the character. And then throughout that episode, he was dressed as an Asian man and as, like, I don't know, maybe one or two other things, maybe just
I think the thing is that the fact is that really no one had that much of a... No one really had as much character as they had in the show, except for Face, which had a little more of a character, mm-hmm. and Murdoch, which was about the same. And everyone else was just sort of you know, got the short end.
I mean they hire a Rampage who can actually fight, and they don't even bother to show things so that he looks like he could fight. They have him punch someone, and they show it to you close up on the hands so that you could see the word pity, and then they, like,
there's a lot
they have
of
a real fighter. Like, I mean, that's again fighting. It's the way that they've been shooting fights for a while now in Hollywood, which is a bad thing, especially when you have someone like that. Because
what is with that, Rybar?
You know, it's because it's cooler to just, you know, make us think we see fighting, and less people, you know, it's easier on the insurance.
It's funny because it was done sort of stylistically in Gladiator, which I remember was kind of the first time they really started doing that kind of fast close-up cutting in action. But then it got to a point where, you know, in Batman, in the first Batman, Batman Begins, not the first Batman, you know what I mean, in Nolan's Batman Begins, they had it in a way that it made sense because they had to cover up how bad the costume looked. But it's like, at this point now, it's been like 10 years, and that's still going on. It doesn't seem to
it doesn't
be coming
make
to
sense
an end.
When you have fighters.
And no one wants it. That's the other thing, too. Everyone adamantly hates that. I've never met one person who's like, oh, I love when this action cuts so fast I can't tell what's going on.
The other thing, not even the cutting fast. It took away from how tough BA seemed. Because the thing is, like, in the show, they would have people, you know, hitting Mr. T in the stomach, like, multiple times. And he would just stand there like, what? You know, like... Oh, did a breeze just go by me? You know, in this, it was like they didn't really do anything to really show, because even when, you know, he hits the guy, you can barely see that he hits the guy. The guy might as well have tripped and fallen 30 feet back into a wall. Like, you can't even tell that it was because BA hit him, you know? Yeah. Like, I know, like...
We don't need the aerial view, like, you know, Rawhide or something, but it'd be nice to have a wide shot once in a while.
Seriously.
Because you're right. I mean, they get a guy who, you know, is his job is being a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Quentin Rampage does for a job, and to not even be able to showcase that is unfortunate. But after I, you know, was looking at Carnahan's work and realized he made, like, Smoking Aces and stuff, I wasn't that surprised.
Let's take a a quick break, and
when we get back, are we going to be doing a game? Maybe,
maybe we'll be doing a little game. Yeah.
No games.
There was no promise of that sort.
I believe we promised no pop quizzes for you. This is a game pitting people against one another in mortal mental combat.
In honor of Mr. T and him pitying the fools, this is The Cool Fool by David Bennett Cohen.
In a world of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. We are still joined in the studio here by Darkubus Rybar, who I'm just going to do an awesome echo for. You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Nice. Sweet.
Darkubus Rybar.
Kind of like you said, Darkubus Rubber.
I think I did, actually. Maybe that should be. Maybe you should sell that. That'd be kind
of
cool.
It's like, that's one of
my like a piece
many,
of rubber?
Yes.
One yes. Of you know, let me. I do want to say one thing. You know, if you've been listening about to our A-Team critique, I would have to say that. We'll make sure to say we didn't dislike it, and we didn't actually, and also, to be fair, there are many, many TV-to-film remakes that are far worse than the A-Team.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And so
sure.
It's one of those things that I think the main reason that Anime and I are criticizing it so much is the fact that we were just expecting so much. With that cast, which everyone is kind of a home run hitter, and the fact that, you know, the promos were so good, and they really did a good job at capturing the essence of the A-Team in the promos,
yeah.
That we were just kind of expecting something different. And I think that's kind of our main qualm with it. It isn't that it's bad, because it's not bad. It's a, you know, if you look at it as just like a fun popcorn action slash comedy, then, you know, it's good. It's totally, you know,
very
totally
middle
fun.
Of the road.
It's middle of the road, exactly, but it's got such a great cast, and that's sort of the problem that we had, is we were expecting, you know, you get Liam Neeson.
Expect them to elevate the movie,
exactly.
Even if the script isn't good.
Exactly. And it's funny, because I felt like the only person who actually did that is the one person that everyone goes, I don't even know who that guy is, which is, of course, you know, Charlton Copley from District 9, who, you know, I thought, at least for me, was by far the best part of the movie. I thought he was great as that character, and a character that actually was my favorite character as a kid. And, you know, it's tough to you know, outdo Dwight Schultz in that part,
yeah.
But I think what he did was, you know, he kind of took the middle road between impression and also kind of doing his own thing, and I think it turned out really, really well. And I also feel like the love he had for the show as a kid, because you talk about how much he loved the show, I think it came across in his performance.
I agree. Yeah.
I thought he was really, really funny, and he was my favorite part of the movie. I think kind of after that, you know, it was difficult. Bradley Cooper was playing Bradley Cooper. You know, like, he was playing the part he always plays. You know, which happened to be a lot like Face.
Yeah. I had a weird thing with Bradley Cooper. He's one of those people that sort of just has been thrust upon us, and yeah. We didn't ask him to come here. It's like, you know, he's got that Colin Farrell thing going on. It's like, why are you supposed to be famous? You're just all of a sudden a lead in movies, and we're supposed
yeah.
to admire you like you've been around for 10 years.
Well, it's funny, because he's been around for a really long time, but he was the guy that no one knew, you know?
Yeah, he finally had a legitimate successful movie last
yeah.
year. I will give him that, and he's not. I'm not saying that he's untalented. He's fine enough, but it's sort of like, well, who are you, and why are we supposed to care at this point? You gotta earn it.
It's almost like the Sam Worthington thing, you know. Like, he was so famous before Avatar came out,
yeah.
You know, and even before Terminator Salvation came out, you know, he was really famous because he was going to be in Avatar, or he was, you know, Avatar was going to come out. And yeah, I think the thing about Bradley Cooper is, you know, I think back, and he had that show Kitchen Confidential,
that he did
a few years ago, and he was the main character, and it got canceled pretty quickly.
Well,
it's actually sort of a funny show.
It's funny, you know. Bradley Cooper is essentially what they're trying to do with Alex O'Loughlin. Like
yeah.
how they, you know, I don't know if it's CBS, but they keep on giving him show
CBS.
After yeah, they
yeah.
keep on giving him show after show yeah. after show, and like, and his shows keep failing. And I don't it's not him that makes them fail. It's just they've mostly been bad shows up until it looks like Hawaii Five-0, which we'll talk a little bit about later, looks like it's actually going to be pretty good.
They just want
him so badly to be a star that they will just keep on giving him show after show.
Well,
so.
You know, it's the Australia thing, you
yeah,
know?
Seriously.
It's either Australia or England is where you're going to get your actors from, and they're always going to bank on them. Yeah, but I think, you know, Bradley Cooper, I know he was on Alias, and you know, so a lot of women like him, but you're right, really. He was also, I believe, the bad guy in Wedding Crashers. But I think the main thing about him was, you're right, he was in The Hangover, which was, you know, is the biggest success in, like, you know, it was, I think it's the highest rate, wasn't it? Didn't it, like, make the most money out of any comedy, or at least any R-rated comedy of all time? Yeah, and it, you know, it was a huge movie, but, you know, at the same time, you know, Todd Phillips directed it, and he's directed a ton.
Well, even before that movie, though, he was just sort of, like, placed into, you know, the top of the... top of the heap with a lot of things. He was just sort of there, and he's sort of like he gets a lot of roles for things, and then that you know you wouldn't expect him to get because he's not quite. You don't think he's there yet. He didn't have a breakout, performance.
No, he really didn't.
Managed to be in a lot of films that were successful.
He's just one of those guys who happens to be really good at being a prick.
Yeah.
He's sort of likable at being a prick. And I think that's the reason why they keep on putting him in stuff, honestly.
Well, yeah, he's one of the better people right now at doing that thing. You know, at doing that, hey, I'm a jerk, but you still like me.
Yeah, but, also going to try and expand his range and do lots of, different things now that he's got the clout to do it.
Yeah. Well, they should just keep putting him on ensembles they have been.
Good news is there isn't, a Bradley Cooper conspiracy. I had read an interview with him once where he tried out for the role of Green Lantern, in the upcoming Green Lantern film played by Ryan Reynolds. And he said that, when he went in there, he put on the mask and he got so into it that he just did his Christian Bale and Batman impression.
No way.
Afterwards, he thought it went really well. And afterwards, he watched the tape and he just was like holding his head, like, I can't believe I did that. So luckily they're not just throwing him in anything.
Green Lantern.
Exactly. And, the thing is, I actually like Bradley Cooper. I think he's funny and I think that, there's a place for him. I think when I look at The Hangover, the problem is, Zach Galifianakis is such
the breakout of that.
Well, he served his purpose. I mean, yeah, The Hangover, he was fine in that. He was great in that movie. But, I mean, it's just a question of he's all of a sudden thrust upon the viewing public.
The viewing public,
like he's been here for 10, 15 years, like Brad Pitt or somebody else. You're not.
Yeah. I agree. It's sort of, it is like the Sam Worthington thing. He sort of kind of just came out of nowhere.
I refer to it as the Colin Farrell syndrome, because that's really how, Colin Farrell came out of nowhere.
Mm.
Didn't really have a hit movie. I don't even think he's had a hit movie yet.
No, I mean, really, the only thing I've really seen him in that I actually really liked was, of course, in Bruges. And I think, except for that, he was in Tigerland, right? Wasn't that kind of his breakout thing?
He actually wasn't bad in Phone Booth.
He makes fun. I mean, it's not even a question necessarily of their skills as an actor as much as, where's the film that makes you into who you are?
Yeah.
Where's that thing that makes everybody clamor and go after you?
Yeah.
It was Minority Report, of course.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, that guy, he's awesome.
You just got to be able to say, how did you break out? There's really not an answer.
Wasn't it kind of Tigerland? Isn't that what people usually
use? Let's find out, how much money did Tigerland make?
Nothing. No one
As in, how many people saw it?
Not many people saw it.
Oh, see? How is that your breakout hit if nobody saw it?
That's a good point.
Well, the thing is that just because nobody saw it doesn't mean that you didn't get noticed for it. It's like, it's one of those things where, people didn't see it and you didn't actually necessarily earn from everybody that credit, but at the same time, there were enough people that had a voice to say that, and he was so great in this movie, and then so everyone else from there on went, I heard he was so great in that movie, and it just gets spread
and no one
like
sees
that.
The movie.
Exactly.
But I gotta say, it still goes along with the whole Aussie English, or in his case Irish thing. It's like, they get the hot new guy from a different country and they figure, they of course are gonna be great. They're from another country.
Yeah.
It's like, of course, they're going to be like Hugh Jackman, or they're going to be like, Russell Crowe or Nicole Kidman, anyone from another country that, came here and just.
Yeah, but they had breakout hits. They had legitimate films that were gambles that could have gone either way, and they connected with an audience.
Yeah.
I mean, no one knew who Hugh Jackman was, but he made X-Men, and he was a replacement, of course, on that movie. And
Dougray Scott will never forgive himself
exactly.
for being
and,
deciding to be the villain in Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah. And movie was very successful, partly because of how good he was.
Yes.
And so, now he gets to go play now. Because
it's true.
He earned his that he has that movie where everybody knows who he is, and when we see him again we'll go, that's how
and Russell Crowe had been around forever before he became really popular. He was in that Romper Stomper movie in Australia
he built himself
90s.
up.
Yeah, and also Virtuosity, which I'm still trying to get Anime to watch, but she never wants to watch it. But it's like
it's
awesome.
It's cutting edge.
It's totally cutting edge. Uh-huh. It takes place in
1999. Has this computer animation stuff.
And
wow,
it takes place. It was made in like 1996 or 97. It takes place in 1999.
Oh God.
And between the time period which you watch it 96 and the year 1999, they would have already had a cybernetic arm that you can totally cover with like fake flesh. That looks completely real.
They have fake flesh. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I would say the cybernetic arms are a little cooler.
Well, yeah, but they have cybernetic arms. They're just, mega expensive. It's actually the fake flesh that's actually one of the hardest parts about cybernetic arms.
Yeah, but these are not the kind of cybernetic arms they have.
I gotcha.
This is like fully functional, every single thing.
Oh, I guess so. It's essentially like it's a real arm. Essentially becomes a real arm.
It's like in, Army of Darkness when Ash makes himself like a cybernetic hand that works perfectly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like that.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the A-Team. I think that overall, like I said, we enjoyed it. And there were a few moments
it's a summer blockbuster for certain. There was a lot of laugh out loud moments in it, but I can barely remember the movie now.
Killed by the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Killed by the Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid with no karate.
Yeah.
No karate
Which,
at
by
all.
The way, at this point, I was reading a review of it. People are just like, hey, you know what? Whatever. They're not going to mess with this name. They're not going to mess with this branding, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
That's everyone's putting it out.
That's kind of racist, really.
Well, no matter how politically correct we try to be, no one cares.
No one cares about the Asian population is really what it means. It's, if it were certain other minority groups, then it would be up in arms, but...
You didn't see that by any chance, did you?
I saw the original and consider that the only.
Yeah, we're still considering whether or not we're actually going to see it or not.
I don't think so.
Dre?
I don't care.
What about Dren?
Have
you seen
that
Splice?
Kangaroo?
I kind of want to see Splice.
The kangaroo with Angelina Jolie lips?
Yes, exactly, yes. Yeah, Dren, Angelina Jolie lips, exactly.
I don't want to meet Dren.
Meet Dren.
So you guys want to play a game?
Yes, let's play a game.
Okay.
Is it me against Rybar?
It is. I'm pitting you two.
Rybar, you're probably going to beat me if it makes you feel better.
I don't even know what the game is. How can I beat you?
I have no idea what the game is either, actually. She said something to us before, so we kind of know what it's about.
No, she didn't.
I said that it's a Mr. T game.
Yeah, so we can be giving, jousting sticks and to fight and say, I pity the fool.
That's joust.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Rybar. How'd you figure out my
Maybe
game?
It's a mohawk
I
match.
Prepared.
Like, whoever shaves their head into a mohawk wins.
Yeah, that's great radio.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, wow. Look at that mohawk. Wow, Dave.
Heck yeah. Pretty sweet,
else.
Huh?
Not as good as mine.
You know, his mohawk, I read a trivia that his mohawk started with him, it was a mistake. He was trying to shave the letter T into his head, and he couldn't get it right, so he just kept the mohawk.
The mohawk
is
actually...
This is why you don't write on your head.
This is why we don't leave Dave to do the biography hunting.
Yeah.
Cause
I read that.
Yeah, no.
It's true.
It's not.
It's true.
No.
Wasn't it named after Mo of the Three Stooges?
He was actually looking through National Geographic, and this is actually true, and or at least the way that the story goes. That's looking through National Geographic, and it's actually this like tribal look.
Yeah.
And
no. He made it look like
messed up on the T.
Yeah, after he messed up on the T, he made it look like a Malawi or something, like a Maasai tribe or something.
Now I just have this image of Mr. T reading National Geographic.
Can you imagine?
This really makes my day.
Yeah. I know. Gold chains and National Geographic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, so you ready for the game?
No.
Okay, here's the game. It's a Mr. T quote game.
Oh,
okay?
My God.
So I'm going to give you the quote, and you're going to have to tell me what movie it's or TV show or whatever it's
Weird.
From.
Weird. He's only been in like four things, so.
If you can name the character even better, but here is where the twist comes in.
Oh, it's a twist?
Yeah. A few times Mr. T has played Mr. T. on shows, and
you suck.
At least one of these quotes is just a plain old Mr. T quote that he said. That
you
suck. I know.
This is harder than my game.
I know.
So I don't get it. What do we have to answer exactly?
Okay,
just
so
the name
you
of the
have
thing.
To, you have to figure out what it's from, what the quote is from.
Uh huh.
Okay? And if you can name the character that he
is that an extra point?
That gets an extra point.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. All
okay.
right. Let's do it.
So.
Avatar!
So when he sucker punched Nancy Reagan, in that time, and he says, I pity you, Nancy Reagan, like, that's
That's true.
That was Mr. T.
Yes. How, you know, do you have anything from that, didn't he do, like, a bunch of infomercials for some sort of, like slow roast, like, chicken thing? Can't we,
That would be, I believe, Kenny Rogers.
Oh, I swear we saw him in an infomercial the other day. Anyway.
Okay.
Let's start it. Let's do it. Stop wasting time.
First
anime.
One.
Uh-huh.
Okay. First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name, T.
I believe that was, him.
That's correct. Wasn't okay, that what's him? That from?
It's just him. I think
and
it's just,
you lose that.
We
point.
Don't have a Mr. T filmography here. We've got.
I know.
We've got.
So he
Rocky,
actually
the AT.
I read that I had actually read that quote. And I thought it was just him saying that.
It's actually from an episode of a TV show.
Oh, okay. That's right. Well, Rybar, you can pick up the whatever.
Wow.
Who knows?
Yeah, you're not going to figure out what this show is from.
This game
he was in an
sucks.
Episode of Silver Spoons.
Wow! You suck.
Well, I knew that.
Yeah.
Actually, I knew
a couple
that.
Of Silver Spoons.
So,
Ricky Shorter. To grow up,
and then Alfonso Rivera. You're not the Fresh Prince.
Silver spoons.
Okay, you ready?
I watched that show as a kid. I recall now.
Yeah. Okay, you ready?
I remember one.
David,
one
shut
episode.
Up. We're okay. playing a game.
Okay.
A game that no one's going to be able to answer a
yeah.
question
okay.
to.
Okay.
Score 0-0.
Gee.
Yeah.
Hey woman, listen here. Since your old man ain't got no heart, maybe you'd like to see your
Rocky
man.
Three.
Yep.
And.
Clubber Lang.
Okay, yep.
I knew that one
Rybar.
Too. Good job, Rybar.
Okay,
hey woman. Yeah, I remember that part. That was mostly like psychological warfare. Actually,
it kind of was.
It was a mind
lot of that.
Game.
That's what it was all about with Clubber Lang.
He was all yeah.
Was he supposed to be like Muhammad Ali, sort of only meaner? Was he like a Muhammad Ali Mike Tyson hybrid?
No, I think he was more of a
George Foreman. Like early George Foreman?
No.
Back before he was like, back
no,
when he was angry?
No, he was just supposed to be a bruiser. Rocky was fighting all those bums and, yeah. Needed some. He needed somebody who can really, make his life miserable.
Mm-hmm. He's a bum.
Yeah.
So, because Mickey was too scared, didn't think that Rocky could really have the goods to fight somebody like Clubber Lang.
Yeah. Man. Burgess Meredith is so awesome.
Okay, you ready for the third one?
Not at all, actually. I'm gonna
now that I'm gonna win.
I know you're totally gonna win.
I totally answered the one that I knew.
Okay,
you got 2 points though. Now I got.
Wow.
You got to believe in the ball and throw yourself.
Wait, I know this one. Wait, is
this like an animated Mr. T?
Nope.
Okay, wait. Is this Dodgeball?
Nope.
Damn.
You got to believe in the ball and throw yourself. He has a very small part in this movie.
I've totally seen this.
You have
I know,
seen
I've
this.
Totally seen this, too.
Damn, can I still answer even though
yeah,
I gave
keep,
one
Yeah, keep on tossing answers
right,
out.
You got it. Wait, say it again.
You got to believe in the ball and throw yourself.
What is that from? Damn, I can't remember what that's from. I'm trying to remember anything Mr. T's been in, but I can't remember anything he's been in other than the A-Team.
Like I said, it's a small part.
Yeah, I remember him having like little small walk-on parts in movies.
Was it like Angels in the Outfield or something like that?
No,
I think he was Mr. T in it, too.
He technically wasn't. I will tell you his character's name.
Uh-huh.
The Wise Janitor.
Mr. T.
Right.
The Wise Janitor.
It wasn't
Rudy.
Basketball,
no.
Was it? No.
No. No. You guys give up?
No.
Rudy.
Wait. I need to know this. I need to get points.
You.
Okay, wait. We'll say it one
you
more
have
time.
One point.
Alex. I have a point. Oh, yeah, I do have a point. Sweet.
You got to believe in the ball and throw yourself.
Totally seen this before.
It is a comedy. It is a.
You said,
oh, no. I thought it was a serious.
It's a spoof comedy.
You said basketball, right?
I did say basketball.
It's a total spoof comedy.
Oh, wait. Is it the comebacks?
Nope.
Damn.
But you're getting closer.
You saw the comebacks?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, kind of funny. Ish?
No.
Ish? No. No, not really. No,
not at all.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Okay, so...
The Friday Night Lights joke was actually kind of funny, though. You won't believe what's happening in Friday Night Lights. Anyway, I guess... I swear I know this.
Well, okay, you've lost time.
Do you got it, Rybar?
No.
All right, what is it?
Not another teen movie.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh, Mia Kirshner's so hot in that movie. You know, Captain America's in that movie. That was one of the first Chris Evans movies.
You know, it doesn't make me want to see it anymore.
It's actually
moderately funny, yeah. It's from before they were doing, like, all of those spoof movies.
Yeah.
It was, like, kind of when the thing started, and so it's actually pretty fun. It's actually
a moderately
lot of funny,
funny
parts.
Spoof movie doesn't work for me.
There's only
I want
a few
very.
Models. You know, I got to work with Robert K. Weiss once, you know that? Who, of course, is producer for things like Airplane and stuff. So cool.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Yes.
You guys ready for the next one?
No, I'm not done name-dropping yet.
Too bad.
Okay.
Okay. But now I know who I am. I can say to the world, hey, this is me. I am woman, and I like me.
You suck. So bad. What? Say that again. And...
But now I know who I am. I can say to the world, hey, this is me. I am woman, and I like
this
me.
This very, very vague notion that I do know this, but
is this,
that's not going to get me even close.
Is this Tuan Fu, thanks for everything, Julia Newmar?
No.
Damn.
I have this very, very...
Was it Mr. Teen address?
I'm assuming yes. I'm assuming that he was,
yeah. I have this image of him in female attire.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, not me, not at all. Is it a TV?
I mean, I believe if he were any T, he would be referred to as Mrs. T. This he is woman. After
Can I
all.
Ask if it's a TV show or a movie?
Movie.
Suburban Commando?
No. No, it's a movie from 1993.
Ooh.
Would it be Loaded Weapon?
Nope.
No.
That's a good.
Wait, what was that?
93.
Mr. Nanny?
No. Apparently,
no holds barred.
Looks like the stars of this movie, like the actual stars, were Brooke Shields and William Sadler. That's a weird combo.
Wow.
Brooke Shields and William Wow.
That's a really
He's going to be
combo.
In Hawaii 5-0, at least in the pilot. We saw him in the preview the other day.
Yeah.
You sunk my battleship. That makes me even more confused, because William Sadler movies, I mean...
Yeah, I know.
What has he been in? He's been in, like...
I know, right?
Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
Okay,
like,
well, since you guys can't get this, I will tell you.
Yeah.
This is from the movie Freaked, and he is the bearded lady.
I saw that film.
Really?
I did, yes.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Directed by, I believe, Alex Winter.
No way, really?
Yes.
Wow, Bill and Ted fan.
Nah, I had this image of Mr.
Yeah, he actually was in one of the directors. Yeah.
Wow.
One director.
And I didn't know where it was, and it was... Wow. I should get credit for that one.
Yeah.
Half a point.
Thank God you don't. You know, you're kind of weird that you even do that. I've never heard of that. I've seen Freaks, but I don't think Mr. T was alive then.
Yeah, no.
No, he was not.
Not in the 20s, no.
Okay.
30s.
You ready for the next 30s. One?
Let's move on,
okay.
Please.
God, is this almost over yet?
Sort of. Okay.
Damn you.
I know we blame Flint for this. In fact, the minute he steps out of that car, I'm going to slap him in the face. He made a mess of things. But that mess was made to order, and it's time we paid the bill.
I'm just going to say the A-Team.
No.
Damn.
It's a recent movie. It's actually a movie we haven't seen. Yeah.
Mr. Flint?
I don't know if you've seen it. You might have.
Armand Flint?
No.
Mr. Flint. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Wow, you suck so bad. Like, really?
You know, it's really funny. You'd think there would be more Mr. T quotes, but Mr. T quotes are, like, they're all I pity the fool.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, it's like, you know... Anyways...
He didn't really do... I mean, he did a lot as himself, Mr. T. He wasn't really in a lot of stuff that... I mean, he was, but...
Okay. I believe in the golden rule. The man with the gold rules.
I think Mr. T said that. Just Mr. T said that.
Yeah, there you go. Dave, that's 2 points for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there.
Fool, your fare is the only thing stopping me from breaking your face.
I think I know this one, too, actually. Completely
is
by
that
accident.
The A-Team?
No.
It's actually, it's a DC cab, right?
That's it. Do you know his character's name?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Frybar?
I forgot about DC cab.
Do you know his character's name? You can get the point.
Yeah, I only know this because we saw it on Netflix the other day. Yeah. And I saw the box cover.
Yeah,
this was actually before he did Rocky 3. He was in DC Cab.
No, about the same time.
Yeah, it was actually
totally
after.
Remember DC Cab.
I never saw it.
I am so close to this, it's not even fair.
Well, should we go on? If you come up with the name, we'll give you the point.
Was he called Mr. T?
No.
No. Damn it.
You give up?
Well, could we sit here for like an hour?
No.
Bubber Sane?
Anyways, it's his character's name is Samson.
Samson?
Yeah. Okay, we got two more. We got two more. Two more. Just two more. You ready?
Some major magazine violence going on over there.
I pity the fool who goes out trying to take over the world, then runs home crying to his mama.
Please tell me that's Mr. T's animated adventures and stuff.
No.
Suburban Commando?
No. I pity the fool who goes out trying to take over the world, then runs home crying to his mama.
Oh, is this when he was going to fight the Ayatollah?
No.
It's like WrestleMania, you mean?
Well, like,
I have no clue.
This is actually from the A-Team.
Oh.
Actually an A-Team quote.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, and the last one.
God, there's another one. I hate you.
The last one. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody gotta wear clothes, and if you don't, you get arrested.
Wow. Wow.
Please tell me that was from Mr. T's Animated Adventures.
No, but you did answer Mr. T, and so that will give you some character, right? Yeah. This is yes, this was actually his
won.
Mr. T.
You are better than me.
Be somebody or be somebody's fool.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his one where you know.
Does that mean Rybar
won? Forget to treat
Rybar
your mother
won.
Right.
I wasn't keeping count, so.
Yeah, Rybar. No, actually technically Dave, you won.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah, Dave did get a few extra there.
Oh, get out the way.
Okay, but We're actually gonna take another quick break.
I got a game for you.
I'm gonna have a break,
goody.
And you're in trouble.
So because robots are awesome, this is Robot Cat by Sudden Death.
Robot Cat.
I pity the robot
cat.
It's
a robot
too.
Rocky Force.
So we will be back with you in just a moment.